So I know that Altium doesn't normally jump into these areas unless there's a lot of customer demand and there's, expected to be decent adoption. So I just have to ask, how big is the MID market? Michael, you mentioned a couple of areas, which was like smartphones, and then I think you mentioned radar, things like this. So I'm just wondering, how big is that market?
Yeah, so the market is very big. So you're totally right, as you mentioned before. So we are active in medical devices. We are active in automotive, in transport, in aviation, in defense. So we are the complete market. So we are talking about some hundred of millions euros. So it's a huge market all over the world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Altium On Track podcast. I'm your host, Zach Peterson, and today I'm speaking with Jack Henriquez, product manager at Altium, and Michael Moras, project and sales manager at Harding for MIDs. Today we're going to be talking about a new tool in Altium Designer that is related to MID design, and it is a 3D routing tool. This has been teased for a little bit, and I'm really excited to see it in action, and we're going to be discussing this tool today. Jack and Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
So why don't we just jump right in? Jack, you're here from Altium. Michael, you're here from Harding. We've got two different companies together on this podcast discussing a new tool. So everyone knows what Altium does. Michael, maybe you can tell us what Harding does.
Yeah, so no problem. So Harding is a big German company in total with 6,000 employees, and the main business of Harding are connectors, in example for trains or electric mobiles or electric mobility. But we in Biel in Switzerland, we are specialized on this 3D MID technology, which means we do the application of circuits directly on the plastic carrier. So this is the main focus we have in the Harding location in Switzerland.
So when you say circuits directly on a plastic carrier, right, this is like 3D, I don't want to say 3D printing, but 3D printed circuits where you have a plastic carrier, it could have an odd angle to it, and it's not necessarily planar, and you're actually putting the copper onto it.
Right, it's a 3D system, but it's not printing. It's a little bit different, but we always start with an injection molded part. So this is a three-dimensional system with all options or all constraints you have with any other plastic part, and then the circuit is applicated first by a laser structuring process and then by a metallization process. So this is not directly a printing, but we end up with a circuit with a layout on the 3D plastic part. Yes.
So this next one is maybe a question for both of you. What are some of the historical use cases for MIDs or molded interconnect devices, and how are they being used today? And maybe what are some of the design challenges around them with today's software?
I think from my experience of talking to the people who design these parts, I'll let Michael talk about the use cases. I think he'll probably know more about that than I will. But just up to answer the question on the current design processes, before we had the 3D MID tool in Altium Designer, the general design process involved using mechanical CAD tools, typically by creating a two-dimensional sketch to represent the circuit layout on a flat plane, and then projecting that sketch down onto the three-dimensional surface. And there are a few problems associated with that workflow. Firstly, there's no electrical intelligence, so the connections have to be made completely manually with no information coming from a schematic design. It's quite hard to keep track of making sure all the right connections have been made. There are no footprints from a library. And also, when you project a 2D circuit layout down onto a curved or a non-parallel surface on the substrate, you get deformation and distortion of that 2D layout. And then, obviously, you can't, if you have the circuit on different faces of the 3D part, it's not always possible to project them from a single a single 2D plane onto the part, you need different portions of the circuit drawn on different planes, and then when they're all projected onto the same part, they need to be manually stitched together to make sure that the trace from the portion of the layout connects with the trace from the other portion of the layout. I don't know, Michael, if you can add anything to that, if you think that's a sort of good description. Or...
Yeah, it's a very good description. So normally we use this technology for function integration and miniaturization. So we can use plastic parts you need anyhow, like housings or carriers, to do this this application of the circuit and integration of electronic components. And in best case, you can avoid a standard PCB completely, which gives you the opportunity to reduce space and weight of your complete system.
I was just talking about use cases. I've seen a lot of, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this technology is used a lot for antennas. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. So the breakthrough of this technology was made nearly 20 years ago when the antennas of the smartphones were integrated into the housing. So if you can remember the former times, then you had a kind of wire on your mobile phone. And then this antenna function could be integrated in the housing. And this is exactly the technology we do. And also for, in example, for hearing aids, for medical one as well, as for music, if you have your in-ears and listen music from your smartphone, then the antenna is also integrated in the housing of your in-ear. And there is no additional equipment or additional wire or additional antenna necessary.
And I believe you've also manufactured a part that's used in a cruise control system in a car.
Right, you're completely right. So antenna integration is only one direction, but we can integrate electronical functions in general. So a radar system for vehicles is one. We also have some security applications for card readers or for wallets. We have integration of sensors like Bluetooth or NFC, in example, in heart pacemakers. So there are a lot of different options we can use this technology for integration of electronic functions.
When you were bringing up antennas directly in the enclosure, I kind of, in my mind, I immediately jumped to what about putting parts on the enclosure as well. So now you're actually mounting components in 3D.
Yeah, so we can integrate electronic components. So we use special raw materials with some special characteristics. So in example, you can do soldering directly on these plastic parts on the circuit layout. So there are different options to integrate electronics by soldering, by wire bonding, flip chip assembly. So it depends on the requirements from customer or application. So then we are able to choose different types or grades of raw materials, and then we can pass the project specific requirements.
So this new tool in Altium Designer is called the 3D MID tool. Is that correct, Jack?
That's right. Yeah, it's been developed specifically to support the 3D MID manufacturing process. The export data is in the format required by the laser direct structuring machines, and it's been developed specifically for that.
So I know that Altium doesn't normally jump into these areas unless there's a lot of customer demand and there's, you know, expected to be decent adoption. So I just have to ask, how big is the MID market? You know, Michael, you mentioned a couple of areas, which was like smartphones, and then I think you mentioned radar, things like this. So I'm just wondering, how big is that market?
Yeah, so the market is very big. So you're totally right, as you mentioned before. So we are active in medical devices. We are active in automotive, in transport, in aviation, in defense. So we are the complete market. So we are talking about some hundred of millions euros, you know. So it's a huge market all over the world.
And one thing we found from talking to customers and potential customers is that although the 3D MID technology is not a new technology, there are a lot of big companies who still haven't heard of it and don't know about it. So we're finding that when we talk to potential new customers, new users of the free DMID tool, they are interested in the tool, but they're also interested in the technology. Is it something they haven't come across before? And there are a lot of there's a lot of work being done by a lot of companies now to validate the technology itself. And I know that Harting are supporting a lot of these companies that we're speaking to on that side of it. And I guess probably the I would imagine that the one of the barriers to adoption historically has been this difficult design process using mechanical CAD tools. So now that we have a fully integrated 3D MID tool in Altium Designer that can it's integrated in the into a, an Altium Designer project in the same way as a standard PCB, in that you can design your you can do your schematic design, you can use components from your library, and then you can synchronize that design with the net connectivity and the components to the 3D MID design, and then complete your layout there with the proper component footprints, with the net connectivity information, with the placing the circuit directly onto the 3D substrate. So there's no projection from a 2D plane onto the substrate. The tools are you're drawing the circuit natively on the substrate surface, and you're using standard clearance rules and minimum trace width rules, that sort of thing. So I think hopefully the introduction of this tool will lower the entry barrier for some of these companies to actually access and make use of the 3D MID technology.
Yeah, it sounds like having this kind of tool directly inside of your PCB design software is that you eliminate some double work, right? You define the constraints once and they already extend onto the 3D surface. And then on top of that, you get the standard rules checking benefits. So you know that the net on your PCB is connected to the correct net on the 3D surface all the way across the component, whichever component you put there. And then the third one you mentioned is integration with your libraries. So now I don't have to make the footprint in the MCAD tool. I can just pull it from my PCB library and then put it directly on the 3D surface. The next question I have is, what has been the customer reception for this kind of tool as far as the usage of the tool itself and not just the interest in, you know, the concept of MIDs?
We've had some very, very positive responses from customers. The benefit from the tool has been immediately apparent to the people who have used it, the things that I've already talked about. They can see how much time and effort that saves, and being able to export the design data in the format needed by the laser direct structuring machines is obviously a big bonus. And we can also now export pick and place data for the components as well, which is a relatively new addition.
Now, pick and place data for the 3D surface sounds interesting because, you know, if you have like one of these, you know, circuit carriers where it mounts to a flat PCB, but then maybe it, you know, kind of sits up at an angle, and then you have the component mounted essentially sideways, how does that work in assembly? Like, are you putting these carriers onto some sort of fixture and running them through pick and place? And then putting the actual carrier and soldering that onto the board? Is that the kind of process that you might use?
Yes. So if we have the substrate or the plastic part, if the layout is designed with Altium, then we receive these data, and we can export it directly to our laser machine. So which means that our laser will hit the surface of the plastic substrate exactly in the layout, which was designed with Altium before. And when the laser hits the surface, the surface gets activated, so which means we can jump into the metallization unit. So this is the next step. So the copper is laying down on the substrate surface only in this area, which was hit by the laser before and which was designed by Altium before. So that means we will end up with a circuit layout on the plastic substrate exactly in the layout the customer wanted or designed it before. And then we have at least our assembly line where we implement the piece by using a carrier. This carrier could be designed by ourselves to make sure that we can reach all the surface points, and we can do this pick and place of the electronic components accordingly. And then let me come back to the raw material discussion we had before. So therefore, definitely we need a high temperature raw material to pass the temperature in the reflow oven so that the electronic component could solder on the surface in a perfect or in the manner customer wants it, you know. So it depends a little bit on temperature they have and other requirements. And then we do the soldering process according to these requirements. We use the correct solder paste, correct temperature, and all this stuff around.
Now, in terms of the actual fabrication of the MID itself, so where the component might mount and, you know, the circuitry, has part of the problem with adoption of MIDs been access to manufacturers that can do laser direct structuring? I ask that because, you know, with PCBs, like I can go to JLC PCB and, you know, get $5 PCBs and maybe get a batch of 10 or 100 or whatever, and then they get shipped overnight and then I have them. I have never heard of that same kind of service for MIDs with laser direct structuring. So what does the access to manufacturing capacity look like, and maybe how did the costs compare?
Yeah, so I think to answer this question, we have to explain that we have two different business models, so to say. So we have standard components, which are distributed, in example, via distributors, where you can also buy electronic components. And on the other hand, we have these customized solutions where we do more or less the complete service. So in this model, we are a full service supplier. So we do the design of the plastic part according to customer requirements. Then we do this layout together with Altium, then lasering, metallization, and therefore we fulfill all custom requirements. So, and we also, for sure, we have this warranty subjects behind. So, especially in automotive industry, we have to make sure that we can ship parts 15 years after EOP. So, at the beginning of the project management, we have all the requirements in house. We check all this. We create a kind of feasibility and go back to customer with our proposals, our constraints, to be honest, and our ideas, and then we start the discussion about all commercial and also technical items, and find at least a final solution and start prototyping, proof of concept, serial production, the normal project management process.
I was just going to add to that, regarding the sort of cost comparison with standard PCBs, we have to remember that in a lot of cases, we're not just replacing a PCB with a 3D MID part, we're replacing the connectors, the cables, the wiring, the assembly process. So one of our customers had a ribbon cable connected to a PCB which was mounted at a specific angle with a bracket on the part, and they replaced that whole assembly with a single MID part.
It sounds like the whole process is much more hands-on than anything you would have with a you know, standard PCB manufacturer, especially if you're doing something overseas.
No, it's not a hands-on process. So, I mean, we are a certified company, you know, so all the processes are defined. So they are checked by customer. And we have to fit all these process steps and also the process parameters. So there's only a few window we can adapt these process parameters. So and this on the other hand, this makes sure that we can reproduce a certain quality standard, and that we also have the complete traceability for all we make. So this is a very high sophisticated and controlled process chain we realize.
So Jack, maybe you can answer this next question. So in terms of actually bringing that 3D structure into Altium and then being able to route on it or place components on it. How does that work? Do I like start with a step model, let's say, of the 3D surface I want to use, and then I use the tool to define where I'm going to be routing? Maybe give us an overview of that.
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. You need to have your mechanical design, which will be done typically in an MCAD package, needs to be exported as either an IGIS or a STEP file, standard 3D file formats. They can then be imported into Altium Designer as a new 3D PCB file. One thing we can also do is any sketches that are created on the surface of the substrate in the mechanical CAD tool can also be imported, and those can then be used to guide the placement of components and regions and traces. So you can use your mechanical engineer can produce some physical placement guidelines, which can be used by the electrical engineer to complete the layout. And some of the feedback we got from the early stages of testing the tool with users was that it's a very common scenario to need to change the substrate design once the layout has already been started. So you might want to change the size of a hole, you might want to add a chamfer to an edge or add a radius or make some other change to the physical design of the 3D part. Initially, that would require the layout in Altium to be started again from scratch. So we listened to that feedback and we implemented a replace substrate command in the file menu, which allows the user to have a design that they're halfway through doing the layout on, and it allows them to then choose an updated substrate file and replace the substrate file in the design with the new file. And obviously the system is clever enough to recognize equivalent surfaces between the old and the new file. So any layout that's not affected by the change will be retained once the substrate design has been updated. So that's how that works.
So on, let's say you add a radius to one surface, and instead of just routing around a sharp corner, now you want to route over a radius. You might have to redo a small part of the routing when you import the new substrate.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if you had a layout on a surface and you replaced the substrate with one which had a big hole in that surface. There's nowhere for the layout to be, obviously. So in that case, that portion of the layout would be deleted and would need to be rerouted around the hole, for example. But if a surface just moves slightly, then the layout will snap to that surface, and the distance between the old surface and the new surface that is considered to be to make those surfaces equivalent is configurable by the user.
I see.
Okay. So if you have a layout on a surface and it moves a little bit, your layout, it just snaps to the new position of that surface. If the surface is so far away in the new substrate, it's deemed to be not the same surface, then the layout will be removed and needs to be replaced manually.
With laser direct structuring and fabrication of MIDs, as we've been discussing, it sounds like it's only surface layers. Can any of this be extended into multi-layer, so you could do like multi-layer 3D MIDs?
Well, right from the beginning, we are a kind, so to say, multi-layer system because we are three-dimensional, you know. So we can use X, Y, Z, so we can use every surface in principle for application of electronic components. And for sure, we have different options to connect front and back side. In example, we can do vias into the part, and then we can do lasering of these vias inside, so we get at least a connection from the backside to the front side. Or we can also create a connection around the complete piece from the front side to the backside. So there are different options that we have to create these so to say multi-layer or multi-dimensional system on the surface. And what we also can do is we can, in example, we can insert pins into the injection tool and back inject that, and then connect the routing, the layout to the pins, which means we have an easy way to combine one MID part together to another MID part, or at least to a PCB with a socket on it. So there are different options to enlarge this MID system to multi-layer functions.
That was an interesting point that you made about the vias, Michael, because from conversations I've had with customers, that question comes up all the time.
Right.
I think a lot of people just assume that it's not possible. So they always seem pleased when I tell them that it is.
Yeah.
And I think am I right in saying that if the substrate is thin enough, the vias can be drilled with the laser, with the same laser that's used for the structuring.
Right.
Exactly. Activate the barrel of the via at the same time, all in one process.
Yeah. So there are at least two options. So we can do this via by drilling by laser. You're totally right. If the via is always on the same position, then we can do it in the tool. So this means we do not need an additional laser process, which means we can save time and money.
And the third option is mechanical drilling as well, I guess, after the injection molding. But I guess that adds a further step to the process.
Yeah, exactly. Could be, but this is probably the most expensive solution.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one question I guess I could follow up on this is, you know, I get that you can do it like around the edge of the surface and you could, you know, really truly access all three dimensions. But what I'm wondering is like internal layer routing, is that possible with a 3D MID, or would you have to like stack multiple parts on top of each other in order to create something that looks like a multi-layer structure with internal routing? Is that possible? Yeah, when you have a PCB, right, you can do internal layer routing, right? So you could have like a four-layer board and then two internal layers with routing or with planes or whatever. Can you do the same kind of thing where you have internal layers in a 3D part and have that be laser direct structured?
Not in a one-step process. So with our LDS process, this means we always have to hit the surface. So so this means we cannot go directly into a part. So what we can do is we can do a laser surface or a laser direct structuring process on the surface on one part, then on the other part, and then we can combine these two pieces together. So this could be an option. Another option could be if we have a part where we have a hole in it or a gap, then we can also do a lasering on the gap, but depends on a certain angle, you know. So if the hole is too small and too long, then we couldn't reach the inner surface by the laser in an accurate way. So then this could not be an option. But if we have a certain angle, then we can also do a lasering inside a piece.
Okay, that makes sense. And you mentioned, you know, taking one surface and then maybe combining it with something else. That would be like taking two surfaces and basically fabricating them individually, stacking them together, maybe soldering them together. And then you could really have something that looks like a 3D multi-layer type of part. So you'd probably have to do something similar inside the design tool where you have one step model and then you have the next overlapping step model. Let's say you do the routing on one surface and then you have the next stacked piece and then you do the routing on the next surface. Is that maybe the right workflow, Jack?
I would imagine it would need to be something like that. Yeah, it's not something we've looked at too closely at the moment, but it's a further development that we could have a look at, yeah.
So what's next for these types of 3D tools, and what's next for the 3D routing tool? What are some improvements that you have on the roadmap that you can reveal on a podcast?
We have a few requests from users, and we need to look at all of those together. And one of the recent things we're looking at is allowing the user to define copper areas based directly on the geometry of the part. So, for example, at the moment we have two different ways of two different sort of guides that the user can implement. One is the imported sketches from the MCAD tool that I mentioned earlier. The second one is we can create an alignment grid directly within the tool in Altium, which is generated on one of the three datum planes of the imported 3D parts and project it down onto the surface. So that allows you to line up components, traces, and place regions. A further option we're looking at is the possibility to actually expose the faces of the UV edges, the edges of the UV faces that make up the geometry of the part, and allow the user to actually access those as alignment tools. There are a number of other improvements we're investigating at the moment, but really we're at the stage where we're seeking more feedback from users, and we're happy to for our development. We need our development to be guided by requests from people using it in the real world.
The next question about all of this, and especially with integration in MCAD, is, of course, someone might look at this and say, what about with CoDesigner? Can I create an MID part and put it into a PCB via the MCAD CoDesigner, or does that functionality not exist yet?
It doesn't exist at the moment. That's something I personally would like to see in the future. It would make sense. It would all fit together nicely to do that, to be able to use CoDesigner, and also to assemble a 3D MID part onto a PCB in the multi-board environment as well. And because obviously, as Michael mentioned, in a lot of cases, these 3D MID parts are also then used as components themselves and assembled onto a standard PCB. So these are all things that are possibilities in the future, but we haven't got to that stage yet.
Where can users go to provide feedback and learn more about the tool? Can they go onto the Altium forum?
Yep, they can go to the forum. They can contact me directly at jack.henriquez@altium.com. And we also have an email address dedicated to this tool, which is, I believe, 3dlayout@altium.com.
Yeah, I know there's such a great active user base, and they're very engaged with making sure all the tools are operating at peak performance. Thank you both so much for being here today. This is really interesting, and I'm excited to see this kind of tool in action. We've been speaking with Jack Henriquez, product manager at Altium, and Michael Moras, project and sales manager for MIDs at Harding. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. You'll be able to keep up with all of our tutorials and feature announcements as they come out. And last but not least, don't stop learning, stay on track, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.